it won't be very long, and I don't know that the lesson will be that long, but we'll see how it goes. Before we start, I left my phone out in the car, but I got a text from Danny Fuller, and he wanted to thank everybody for the text and prayers and calls and prayers on his behalf, mainly, most of all. He's had 4 treatments so far, and he's got 31 to go. So he said that he would be in Atlanta Monday through Friday until December the 23rd, taking treatments, and then he'll be coming home on the weekends, and he sure covets your prayers for him and Miss Hope as well. But he wanted to mostly thank you for sending all your prayers and calls for him. He said it really means a lot to him, and it helps him in his treatment. So he wanted me to convey that to you. If you will, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll be reading in there in just a few minutes. Paul wrote many of the epistles to the different congregations through, and this one to the church at Corinth. And a lot of times he repeated things that he would say for things that they needed to concentrate on. And one of the things that Corinth was guilty of was not being consistent with pleasing the Lord. And often is the time in our lives, or whether it be at school or our jobs or what have you, that we work for consistency if we're doing a good job. If we're doing a good job in sports, we want to consistently do that muscle memory over and over and over again to get that down. If we are doing a good job in our work, we are to remember how we did that before so that we can do the job accurately and in a good way. If we're in our schoolwork, if we remember what we did last time so that we can remember again how to do that and build on that consistency, that's what brings forth success. But Paul was writing to these Corinthians, and he was saying that they weren't so consistent in their worship. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and in verse 14, it says, "I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children I warn you. For though you may have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ Jesus, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness?" In this passage, or in this epistle to the Corinthians, he said that the Corinthians were being inconsistent. We can see that he had talked about this in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. And he had already talked to them about this. In verse 10, it says, in verse 10, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. He goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 4, he says, "For when one says, 'I'm of Paul,' and another, 'I'm of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" They were not consistent. They were not saying, "I am of Christ, I'm a Christian." But rather they were claiming to be those who had brought them to the gospel. We can see that there is warnings of this in the Bible. And Jesus gave these warnings in the book of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And in verse 3 it says, "And why do you look at the speck in your own brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, and a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." What is this talking about? This is talking about other Christians that are were at war with each other, trying to have division among each other. He called them hypocrites. Even worse, in 1 John, 1 John chapter 2, the epistle in 1 John chapter 2, and in verse 4 it says, "He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." We can see that John says, if you say that you know him and the truth is not in you, then you're a liar. Also in James chapter 2, and in verse 14, James chapter 2 and in verse 14. "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one says to them, 'Depart in peace and warm and be filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." We can see that this is a term of inconsistency. If you say, "I have faith, I'm a Christian," but do not practice those things, we can realize that we are liars. We are called unprofitable. So that's something that we need to guard against, just as the Corinthians guarded against. So, in doing this, we just need to realize how we can become consistent or how we may be inconsistent. Think about how we can become inconsistent and be warned about that. Well, just the chapter before where we were reading in James chapter 2 and James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 21. It says, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If any among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one religion is useless." We can see that if we hear but not and are not doers of the word, we're not consistent. We're inconsistent. We can see that we are to be profitable in God's sight, and we should hear and do. Jesus spoke in a parable about this in Matthew chapter 21 and in verse 28 about the two sons. In Matthew chapter 21 and in verse 28, it says, "But what do you think? A man has two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he regretted and went. And then he came to the second son and said likewise, and he answered and said, "I'll go, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? And they said to him, "The first." Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you that the tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him." He was telling these people that we have to be consistent. We can't say, "I'm going to do that. I'll do that. I'll follow your word," and then not follow it. He likened them, the tax collectors and the harlots, the most despised and rejected people of that time, saying that they get their reward. The tax collectors and harlots believed him, and when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him. We can see that we have to have consistency. Not only must we hear, but we must do what the word says. As we just read about the two sons, we can be inconsistent by saying we're doing something and not do it. In the book of Matthew, chapter 23, again Jesus is talking to the scribes and Pharisees and the multitudes. Matthew chapter 23. And in verse 1, "Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, 'The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at the feast, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, 'Rabbi, Rabbi.' But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, for he is in heaven. Do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation." We can see here that Jesus didn't have a lot for these scribes and Pharisees, although they were considered the most religious of all the people in these people's sides. He's saying, don't do this to be seen of men. Don't do this and say, I'm religious and I'm holy and I'm pure and I'm above all others, but yet you don't practice what you preach. He said, don't be like the scribes and Pharisees, loving the best places at the feast and the best seats in the synagogues and wanting to be called great among men. Be consistent by doing what's right in the sight of God. Whatever they tell you to observe, observe, but do not do according to their works. For they say and do not do. Saying and not doing is a sure way of being inconsistent. Well, we can see also, again, in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Again, we know that Jesus did not want us to see the fault of others without checking on ourselves. And we've already read part of this in an earlier passage. But it says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1, "Judge not that you be not judged, for what judgment you judge will be judged. And with the measure you use it, it'll be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? We can see that seeing the fault of others, but not the fault of ourselves, is a way of being inconsistent. That's a way of showing inconsistency. That's something that we have in the Bible to warn us. We can see also that we can choose to say that we are religious and holy and spiritual, and we go according to the Bible and all of that. But there's another thing that we can be inconsistent with. And that's by appealing to our own standards and appealing to the reasons or our feelings or our desires of our own. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 6. And how often this happens in the evangelist of the television persuasion. It says, now these things in verse 6, now these things, brethren, I figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? I know that we had a lesson in our college literature class and in our honors literature, and we had a preacher that came from a denomination, and we were reading about Boaz and Ruth. It was just as a literary work. But he said, you know, when we're looking at the Bible and that we're reading the Bible, we have to ask ourselves, what does it say? What does it mean? And what does it mean to me? That's not the case. We can't just say, well, the Bible says this and it means this, but to me it means this. It says that you may not learn in us not to think beyond what is written. We can't go and say, well, I believe in these days he would mean this, or in these days the translation would mean that. We have to realize that God's word does not change, and we'll get into that in a minute. But by claiming the Bible is our standard and then reasoning in ourself saying things are different now. He would be different if the Bible were written today. I know he would understand. That's reasoning within ourselves. That you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written. That's a way that we can become inconsistent if we choose to try to twist the word or conform the word to what we believe. It says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Claiming the Bible is our standard, speaking as the oracle of God, that's the way that we remain consistent. And we can also read in 2 John 9. 2 John 9, keeping our word or the Bible consistent. It says in 2 John 9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. For he who abides in the doctrines of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. We can't agree with those who say, I believe this is what the Bible means for us today. I believe this is our translation today. Well, another way that we can become inconsistent can be found in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And in verse 20. It says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. We have to understand that we have to love others, even our enemies, even those that don't go along with us or maybe not agree with us. Claiming we love God but hate somebody else, but have a hatred toward another person, that's not the way that we can become consistent. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? We have to guard against that so that we may not become inconsistent. If we become inconsistent, we will be just like the scribes and Pharisees. Claiming that we are in God but not walking in his ways is also warned in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And in verse 3. It says, now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk, just as he walked. Now we know, and we'll read about this in a few minutes, but we know that, and God knows, and Jesus knows that we're not perfect. But we need to say that we know him and keep his commandments, or at least try to keep his commandments. He knows that we'll stumble, and we have someone who will be our propitiation, that is Jesus. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. To walk just as Jesus walked. We can see that if we claim to be in God but not walk in his ways, we're inconsistent. So we can understand that there are several different ways, and there are several other different ways that we may be on guard to be consistent and inconsistent and guard against inconsistency. And we need not give up. As we spoke in a studied in a lesson before, trying to go on to perfection and trying to do what's right in the sight of God, we need not give up in trying to please God. We understand that we have sin in our lives, but we do have good news. We can be inconsistent. We can have inconsistency in our lives. Certainly we'll have sin in our lives, and that's something that we are to fight every day. But we do know a couple of things that are consistent. We know that God is consistent. In the book of Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, for I am the Lord, I do not change. I am the Lord, I do not change. We can lay hold of and lay our anchor there. It's not going to switch and swap about and say, well, he's changed his rules yet to tomorrow, or he's changing his rules a week from now. I am the Lord, I do not change. We can see in James chapter 1 and verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. We can be consistent if we follow after his word. We can be consistent if we understand that his word will not change on us. It won't be a New Testament, as it were, as some believe, that Jesus, after the Transfiguration, came back and appeared to the new world Well, we can understand that that's not the case. He does not change, and his word does not change. And going hand in hand with this, there is good news that we have a high priest that will speak and stand for us, and that is Jesus. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4, and in verse 14, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." Keep that consistency. Be consistent. "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Jesus knows we're going to have a time of need. We're going to have several times of need. The point is that we need to be consistent. "Seeing that then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." Be consistent. Try to be as consistent as we possibly can be. In Hebrews chapter 13, and in verse 7 it says, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them." We can see that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is our go-between to God. And we can understand that he was consistent. He was consistent while he was in all points tempted as we are. And he knows our trials and troubles. And he wants us to be as consistent as we possibly can be. But he's there for us if we need him. Well, the lesson is yours tonight. It may be that there are those here who have never named the name of Christ, never obeyed the will of the Father in heaven. Certainly, you can make that great confession tonight. And as you go and follow the steps of obeying the gospel. It may be that there are those here tonight who have been inconsistent in their life, and they want us to pray along with them that they may have more consistency in their life in serving God and in pleasing God. We'll be glad to pray along with you for that also. If there's anything that you need, you can come forward while we stand and while we sing.